Chapter 23. It happened, just like I feared it would. The Bosphorok hit Earth again. It was a hit-and-run attack, like when they and the Theranin conducted orbital strikes against New York, Geneva, and other targets. The purpose of that first attack had been to test our reaction after we declared a policy of mutual assured destruction. Our response back then was weak, so the Maxalks escalated, ending with them launching a significant portion of Jupiter's atmosphere into space, threatening to freeze our homeworld. This time, the Bosphorok acted alone. My guess is either the Theranin refused an order from their asshole patrons, or the Maxalks didn't bother coercing a second client into doing their bidding because the bird brains were weak and really couldn't say no. Maybe also they were still pissed off at us enough to want another round of payback. I don't know the politics involved in that coalition. All I know is the bird brains raided us again, and this time they were serious. Despite the UN Navy having four extinction-class battlecruisers in orbit, Earth's defenses were still relatively weak. There was no multi-layered strategic defense network around our homeworld. We didn't even have full sensor coverage beyond the moon's orbit. The number of SD platforms at the time, while classified information, was easy to remember. Zero. That's right. We had no defense satellites capable of shooting at incoming ships. That was a choice, a deliberate decision to direct our limited resources to building a deep space navy rather than constructing satellites. The decision made sense at the time. Starships are multi-mission platforms, while SD satellites can only do one job. Starships can perform defensive patrols, and they can retaliate to discourage further attacks, and they can hit the enemy before they hit us. So I'm not criticizing UNEF Command's decision to focus our resources toward building and maintaining a deep space navy. I'm just explaining why the Bosphorok were able to strike our homeworld. They knew exactly where to hit us. That targeting data must have been provided by their patrons. No way did the Bosphorok fleet coming into our star system have time to gather and process sensor data, make sense of what they were seeing, and prioritize a target list. I'm also pretty sure the bird brains never got the opportunity to get to the second row on their to-do list, because our Navy reacted quickly. I'm not saying our Navy deserves medals all around for their performance. The Bosphorok did hit us hard before our ships began knocking enemy ships out of the sky. The hastily trained Navy crews did the best they could with their unfamiliar ships, using systems for which the instruction manuals were still at the "for dummies" stage. The moment when the bird brains jumped in, the battlecruiser Republique was conducting a refueling and replenishment exercise out near Saturn, and the Valiente was with us. That left only four extinction-class battlecruisers in Earth orbit. We should have stationed some of our former Jarapta warships several light minutes away on sensor picket duty, but all of those ships were at our forward bases. In hindsight, that was a bad decision. The Bosphorok jumped in with 32 ships, all heavy cruisers, battlecruisers, and battleships. Like I said, they were serious about the second raid. Clearly, they had decided that escort ships would be of no use to them. Also clearly, they knew it would be a waste of time and firepower to target our battlecruisers. All 32 ships jumped into low orbit, below jump altitude. They were moving fast. The momentum would carry them up to jump distance even if their main engines were disabled, so perhaps their crews thought they had at least a prayer of surviving the mission. More likely, their leadership made a token gesture to avoid stating openly that the raid was a suicide mission, but surely no one aboard those ships thought they were coming back. Maybe the crews of those enemy ships were courageous to sign up for a suicide mission, or maybe they didn't have a choice. We know from examining sensor data collected during and shortly after the battle that the Bosphorok ships had minimal crews aboard. They didn't see any need for relief crews or extra hands for damage control. They figured the battle would be short and violent, and they weren't wrong about that. 32 ships jumped in, four groups of eight. One group emerged over North America and immediately spat out every missile they could get into launch tubes, while railguns sent kinetic rounds burning down through the atmosphere and directed energy cannons pulsed in rapid-fire mode. Another group emerged over Central Europe, one over northern China, and one almost directly over Shanghai. We figured the Shanghai group was supposed to strike targets in India as their flight path took them in that direction, but they never got that far. Our ships reacted quickly by human standards, still too slowly to prevent massive damage to sites on the ground. The first row on the enemy's target list were industrial facilities that were making high-tech materials and equipment to raise humanity out of the Stone Age. According to Skippy, those factories were only taking baby steps toward attempting to manufacture high-tech stuff. He didn't consider any of their output to be usable. Regardless, the raid cost us 70% of our facilities capable of handling advanced alien-derived technology and the lives of thousands of people who worked there. The people were the loss that hit us hardest, not only in terms of lives destroyed, but also because they were an elite group who at least somewhat understood Skippy's vague, rambling explanations of how advanced tech worked. We could rebuild factories better than new, but the loss of talented people would hurt us for a long time. The Bosphorok also hit power generation and distribution infrastructure, and not just fusion reactors. While missiles and railguns were pounding factories, the directed energy weapons burned miles of power lines, ripped up pipelines, destroyed power plants, and even sliced through hydropower dams. One enemy heavy cruiser was using its masers to burn into dams of Hydro-Québec's James Bay project when missiles from Vanguard ripped that cruiser apart. The impact of those dams would have been worse if the enemy group over North America was closer to Quebec. That cruiser had been shooting through dense cloud cover at a shallow angle, and water vapor absorbed part of the maser energy. We also got lucky that the bird brains didn't have time to blow up the Hoover Dam, so we can thank our Navy for that. We began what became known as the Third Battle of Earth with zero SD satellites. Zero is also the number of enemy ships that survived. 14 of the raiding ships did coast on momentum up to jump altitude, but none of them were able to jump. Our ships saturated the area with damping fields to prevent the enemy from getting away, knocked back their energy shields, and then surgically sliced away missile launchers, cannons, railguns, point defense guns, and anything else that made each of those hulls a warship. 8 of the 14 chose to self-destruct, leaving 6 ships and 183 alien crew members to be taken prisoner. We got all the survivors aboard the ship that had the best life support capacity, making it easier to assure they didn't cause any more trouble. When I say we, I am not including myself, Skippy, or Valkyrie. We weren't there. Skippy needed downtime after his latest round of creating solar flares, and the ship had to refuel. While the Third Battle of Earth was raging, our mighty Valkyrie was taking a break for maintenance. We were with the Valiente, 9 light hours from Earth, blissfully unaware anything unusual was happening at our home planet. The first sign that we missed the action came 9 hours after the fighting began, when we heard an emergency broadcast message calling for us. To avoid the enemy ambushing Valkyrie, we kept our location a secret whenever we were near Earth. Not even UNEF Command knew exactly where we were. Holy shit. I stared at Sims while she was standing in the door to my cabin and I was sitting on the edge of my bed. To be ready for emergencies, I slept in sweatpants, my clothes laid out on the coffee table. While I tried to shake sleep from my head, I was already pulling on a shirt. Did Command say they want Valkyrie to scan the system, see if we can locate and destroy the enemy star carriers? Valiente has been ordered back to Earth immediately. Right. From my XO's admirably brief description of the raid while my sleep-addled brain tried to wake up, my guess was the star carriers had not waited to see results of the battle. They likely dropped off the raiding party and raced to the backstop wormhole, getting away while they could. Although, the boss Farrakh would want to know what the raid had accomplished, so they could report to their asshole patrons. There had to be 2, maybe more, enemy cruisers hanging around in stealth, waiting for light from Earth to reach their positions. We might be able to prevent some of those ships from ever seeing their home base again, but really, who cares? Hunting down a handful of Bosphorak cruisers wouldn't undo the damage from the raid or prevent the Maxalt's coalition from hitting us again. UNEF Command knew that. The leadership and staffers of Command were not experienced in space combat, but they didn't have to be tactical geniuses to understand that tracking down any remaining enemy ships was nothing more than a gesture to show the public that their Navy was doing something. XO. Tell the pilots to hold right there, I said as I jammed my feet into shoes. We have a search pattern, sir. She was half-turned in my doorway, ready to dash back to the bridge. I know. That wasn't true. I just assumed she would have asked Skippy to program a search pattern as soon as she saw the order from Command. We need to stop at Earth first. Her response was to slowly tilt her head, so I explained. The purpose of sending their clients on a raid is to test us, right? She nodded. Command hadn't stated it in their message, but it was a good bet the boss Farrakh didn't wake up one morning and decide to be incomprehensibly stupid. The Maxalts had threatened, forced, or incentivized them to conduct the raid. That accomplishes one objective. But if a raid causes Valkyrie to fly around willy-nilly chasing sensor ghosts, the kiddies may have a secondary objective. Another ambush? She guessed. Yeah. They know Valkyrie is in system. I shrugged. But they don't know where. All they have to do is plant some decoy star carriers out here for us, knowing Command will want vengeance. We can't afford to act on emotions. She raised an eyebrow, like she was surprised to hear me saying that. I guess I deserve that. By the time we got to Earth and squirted a tight beam burst message to Command, emotions there had cooled down, and apparently they came to the same conclusion I did. We immediately received revised orders to remain near Earth in stealth, while other, more expendable battlecruisers went out chasing ghosts. We drifted in stealth, with the ship's passive sensors viewing our homeworld directly to survey the damage and watching news reports that showed smoking ruins and broken bodies. It was bad. I feared UNEF Command's reaction to the raid would only make it worse. Sir, I tried not to swallow so hard that my nervousness was obvious in the video on my laptop camera. In my office, I was on an emergency call with UNEF Command. General Bishop. General Urquhart interrupted me, which he could do because he wore the 3 stars of a lieutenant general in the British Army and was the current chairman of the UNEF Command General Staff. I only wore 1 star, and the emphasis he put on the word general was to remind me of that fact. I do not understand your reluctance to carry out retaliatory action. Crashing wormhole networks was your idea. Yes, sir, Yes. Right then I didn't know what else to say. There wasn't anything I could say other than yes or no, and a no was unacceptable to either of us. Command wouldn't accept my refusal to carry out orders, and I couldn't afford them to question why I refused their very logical and reasonable orders. To be specific, I couldn't afford the bad guys out there hearing my explanation of why I refused to comply. Shit. I was trapped by my own lies. Yes? Urquhart glared into the camera. Is that a yes? You agree we need to show the galaxy the price of striking Earth? Sir, it's complicated. Not from my point of view. Can Skippy crash a wormhole network in Bosphorok territory or not? Right there. That was the problem. Immediately after the raid, Command engaged in damage control. Navy escort ships had been sent out to scour our star system for enemy carriers or warships, while Valkyrie and the 4 other battlecruisers patrolled near our homeworld. 2 weeks later, public sentiment had shifted from shock to anger. They had time to accept the horrible losses of life and damage to our infrastructure, and they wanted revenge. They wanted us to hit back. No, that's not quite right. They wanted UNEF Command to assure them that another raid wouldn't happen. Since Command lacked the resources to directly protect our planet, they had to rely on punishment. Like General Urquhart said, we had to show the entire galaxy what happened to anyone who dared strike us at home. The debate within Command resolved around how to retaliate, not if. Of course, their number one option was to pull the trigger on the big gun, crashing a wormhole network in Bosphorok territory. That would punish the Bosphorok, make them less useful clients of our ultimate enemy, and therefore make it less likely those particular clients of the Maxulks would ever think about hitting us again. It would show the entire galaxy that Earth is not screwing around. We said there would be a price for hostile action, and we meant it. Most importantly, it would show the entire galaxy that we could selectively crash any wormhole network we wanted. The Maxulks probably goaded their client into conducting the raid to answer 2 questions. Could we really crash a network, and would we actually do it? UNEF Command needed the answer to both of those questions to be not only yes, but hell yes. They also were eager for us to act quickly, to demonstrate that the member nations of the United Nations Expeditionary Force Command were united in their determination to protect our planet and our interests in the galaxy beyond our home star. Shit! I argued that we should instead take an incremental approach. And I was losing that argument. General Urquhart, yes, we can crash a wormhole network in the territory of the Bosphorok. As I stated before, there are some wormhole networks we can't afford to interfere with because doing so would interrupt power flow, and that risks producing unwanted results. However, sir, please, I urge you to consider a campaign of escalation. Use the Navy to hit back at the bird brains. Show them that humanity is not a one-trick pony, that we don't always have to rely on a magical beer can. Order the Navy to conduct raids against the Bosphorok while sending a message in the clear that we know their patrons are the ones really responsible. Use that as leverage to further weaken and splinter the Maxulk's coalition, I said, amazing myself that I was capable of seeing the wider strategic picture. Crashing a wormhole network is an extreme action, but it's a one-time thing, sir. Once it's over, it will begin to lose its shock value. Urquhart bit one side of his lip like he was considering what I said. The problem for me was I had been saying essentially the same thing for 3 days and command wasn't buying my argument. The public back home, the people that the leaders of UNEF's member nations ultimately answered to, were demanding action. They wanted us to hit back now, and they wanted us to hit back so hard no hostile aliens would ever think of coming to our star system again. The generals and admirals serving at UNEF command could counsel for calm and caution, but they took direction from their national leadership, and no one could resist the constant barrage of demands to take extreme action. Bishop, Urquhart said after a pause, it is encouraging that you are considering the political angle here. I'm trying to consider the overall strategy, sir. At this level, politics is strategy. Unless we intend to crash every network in the galaxy, which the senior species won't tolerate, we can't stop aliens from hitting us again. We have to make them see that hitting us isn't worth the cost, no matter what threats or rewards the Maxulks are offering. Bishop, I need a list of options for networks to crash tomorrow, before noon, my time. Is that clear? Straightening up, I squared my shoulders. Yes, sir. Will do. What are we going to do, Joe? Skippy asked after command ended the call. At my request, he had stayed quiet while I was talking. Neither of us wanted him to blurt something out and confuse the issue. We are not doing anything. This isn't on you. The whole bullshit bluff thing was my idea. I have to own it. Own it? How? I'm telling the truth to command. Shit, Joe. That means sooner or later everyone in the galaxy will know. Yeah, probably sooner. I plan to tell the truth and accept the consequences. Okay, Maybe this is a monkey thing. It's a responsibility thing. Because you caused this mess? Yes. Then aren't you supposed to fix it? I can't. This can't be fixed, Skippy. This is a problem without a solution. Listen, I am willing to do whatever I can to deal with the fallout of announcing that the whole thing was a bluff, but UNEF Command won't have any faith in me. They won't trust me at all, and I won't blame them. Okay, then how about, and I know this is crazy talk, we don't deal with the problem. What do you mean? Joe, if a problem can't be fixed, then why waste time and effort trying to deal with it? The sensible thing to do is run away. We'll take the ship out to the Sculptor Dwarf Galaxy and I'll lock the door behind us. Run away? Hell no! Why not? He demanded, and I could see in his eyes that he was not joking. Just you and me, Joe. What about all the people on Earth? He sniffed. Like I care about a bunch of filthy monkeys. You do care. Ah! His shoulders slumped. Damn it! Yes, your home world is a miserable ball of mud infested with ignorant monkeys, but I have become rather fond of them. Their wacky antics amuse me. Okay, how about a compromise? Like what? If you are relieved of command, ignore it. Don't leave the ship. I considered how awkward it would be for a new commander to have me hanging around. Maybe that was how Count Chocula felt back when he was in charge of the mission, but the crew looked to me for leadership. Doing that again would be kind of a dick move. I would kind of have to leave, clear the way for Sims to become captain. No, you do not! He stomped one of his tiny feet on the desk. You can stay aboard the ship as, an advisor or something. Hell, you can be my court jester. Keep me amused, you know? He gave me a spark of hope. I'll try to arrange that. But it needs to be my initiative, Skippy. You stay out of it, understand? This is a monkey thing. Okay, he He pretended to let out a long breath. How are you going to do this? I'm going to be smart for a change, and ask for advice.